Title: B-section contrast writing for modern control with vintage tone. Advanced. All right, let's talk about the part of a drum and bass tune that separates a loop that bangs from a track that feels like a story. The B-section. Second drop. Mid-track switch. Alternate 16 or 32, whatever your layout is. This is where you give the listener a new chapter without changing the book. The target vibe today is modern control with a vintage tone. Modern control means repeatable, mixable, clean low end, consistent transients, automation that's planned. Vintage tone means sampling mindset, slightly imperfect movement, band limited grit, tapish echo, and room that feels like a place instead of a plugin preset. By the end of this lesson, you're building a 32-bar B section that still rolls, still feels DJ-friendly, but clearly announces we're in a new lane by bar 1 or 2. First, we need the DNA of your A section. Before you touch any devices, pause and name the three things that define your A drop. Usually it's something like 1. Drum identity, like tight two-step with a particular ghost hat feel. 2. Bass motif, the recognizable rhythmic or note shape. 3. Signature texture, like vinyl air, a dub stab, a specific Reese character, something. Here's the rule that keeps you from writing a whole different tune. In B, keep two of those identities and flip one hard. Different but still the same. That's the whole game. Now, in Ableton Arrangement View, grab your A drop. If it's 32 bars, perfect. Duplicate it forward 32 bars. Rename your locators so you've got drop A and drop B. And commit to this rule. In the first 4 bars of drop B, change something obvious. Not necessarily loud, just obvious. If somebody is half paying attention, they should still feel the switch. Let's start with drums, because drums are where the listener reads the section instantly. You're going to keep the pocket, but change the conversation. On your drum group or drum bus, create a controlled grit chain. Think of this as a B-section drum snapshot you can recall, not a random pile of plugins. Add drum bus. Drive somewhere in the 5-15% zone. Crunch low, and keep boom off or barely there. Boom is a trap in DNB because you already have a sub. You don't want fake sub stacking. Damp a bit, and if your saturation softens attacks, bring transients up slightly. Then add saturator in analog clip mode. 2-6 dB of drive, soft clip on, and match output so your B isn't louder just because it's dirtier. That's a huge beginner mistake at an advanced level. You think you wrote a better section, but you just turned it up. Then EQ 8 with a high pass around 20-30 Hz. If the grit makes your snare cloudy, do a gentle dip around 250-400 Hz. Just gentle. You're clearing fog, not carving a new face. Now choose how your drum variation reads as B. You only need one strong move. Option 1. Snare language swap. Keep the main snare pattern the same, but layer a short rim or wood transient on the 2 and 4, like a little tick of identity. Then add a tiny room tail, but only in B. This is a super classic, super effective contrast lever. Set up a return track called Room. Put hybrid reverb on it, convolution small room, decay around half a second, minimal pre-delay, low cut around 200-400, high cut around 6-10K. Then, and this is the fun part, put redux after the reverb, not before. After, you're degrading the room itself, which screams late 90s adjacent without ruining your transient. Keep it light, 10-25% wet. Now in B, send a bit more snare and tops to that room than you did in A. Option 2. Hat grid shift. Go into your hats and percussion and use the groove pool. Something like MPC 16 swing, 55-60. Apply it at 20-40% timing and just a touch of velocity randomization. Then, every 2 bars, add one very quiet, slightly off-grid hat. It's not a fill. It's a human push. The listener feels performance, not MIDI. Option 3. Break accent layer. Add an amen or funky drummer top loop, high pass it around 200-400 so it's not fighting your real low end, then gate it so it only speaks on accents. Automate that loop in and out every 8 bars. This gives you jungle DNA without turning your roller into a full break track. A clean 32-bar drum plan that works in almost any rolling DNB tune looks like this. Bars 1-8, core groove stays, but you introduce the new swing or hat feel. Bars 9-16, you bring in break accents or a secondary top layer, so it feels like it opens up. Bar 17-24, you pull the break back out, but increase snare room scent and add one little tom or percussion fill to signal the midpoint. Bars 25-32, you strip it back again as a pre-return. Less tops, tighter feel, so the next section hits. Notice the philosophy, you're not adding layers forever. You're shaping an arc. Now bass. This is where modern control really matters, because your low end is your credibility. Duplicate your bass track. Label it bass and bass B. For the first 8 bars of bass B, keep the same notes, same motif, but change the articulation. That means rhythm, gaps, note lengths, anticipation notes. Add tiny 1/16 pickups into downbeats or shorten tails so the drums get more breathing room. You're making the same sentence sound like a different voice. Now build the split. Clean sub plus vintage mid. Use an audio effect rack with 2 chains. Chain 1 is sub, clean. EQ8 low pass around 90 to 120 Hz. Then compress lightly, 2:1 ratio, attack 15 to 30 ms, release 80 to 150. You're aiming for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction, just to stabilize. Optional limiter just catching peaks, not flattening life. And keep the sub mono. Put utility on that sub chain. Width at 0%, non-negotiable. Chain 2 is MID, vintage, high pass above your sub crossover, so maybe 120 Hz. If it's boxy, a gentle dip around 300 to 500. Then saturator, warm up or analog clip, 3 to 8 dB depending on how brave you feel. Then auto filter, LP24, and automate the cutoff somewhere between 400 Hz and 4 kHz across the 32 bars. That's one of your main contrast levers. Then chorus ensemble, subtle, amount 10 to 25%, slow rate, keep width in check. This is about giving the mids a little recorded wobble, not turning your bass into a trance pad. Teacher tip. Map key stuff to one macro. Auto filter frequency plus saturator drive map to a macro called B-tone. That way your contrast becomes one intentional knob you can automate, rather than 5 lanes of chaos. Now for vintage unstable pitch, but controlled. The vibe is slightly imperfect movement, not seasickness. If you have Max for live, use an LFO or shaper on the MID chain, and modulate tiny amounts of filter frequency, maybe a touch of chorus amount, maybe a hair of saturation drive, tiny. Or if you don't have Max for live, do it with clip envelopes. Draw a slow curve over 8 bars, repeatable, musical. The key word is repeatable, vintage tone, modern control. Next, the vintage feature layer. This is the nostalgic ingredient, a stab, a resampled Reese phrase, a vocal chop. One main feature. Don't add 3 and call it detail. 1. Fast workflow, resample. Create a new audio track and set its input to resampling. Record 4 to 8 bars of your bass mids and maybe a stab or lead texture. Then pick your warp mode based on the aesthetic. Beats mode for gritty chopped behavior, tones for a certain kind of smear, complex or complex pro for smoother, but listen for artifacts. Now make it feel old but intentional. On that resample audio, add redux, bit depth around 12, downsample around 2, and blend it 10 to 30%. Then auto filter in band pass mode, BP12, and automate the center frequency so it feels like radio movement. Then echo in tape mode, time it an eighth or a quarter, feedback 15 to 35%, wobble 2 to 6, and filter the lows out of the echo, high pass around 200 to 400 so your delays aren't stepping on your kick and sub. If the layer is strictly mid and high, you can widen it a bit with utility, but to be honest, if it starts to carry the groove, keep it narrower so mono doesn't kill it. Placement matters as much as sound design. Treat it like seasoning across the 32 bars. Bars 1 to 8, barely there. Maybe only on bar 4 as a little answer. Bars 9 to 16, call and response with the bass, so the listener locks onto it. Bars 17 to 24, mute it completely. Yes, mute it. Contrast inside contrast. Bars 25 to 32, bring it back as a teaser, so the return feels inevitable. Now the modern control part, the energy automation grid. This is where you stop drawing random movement and start composing with intention. Create automation lanes for a small set of things that actually matter. Drum bass drive, bass mid filter, reverb send to the room return, and optionally, something very subtle on the master like a tiny shelf or a tiny width change. But be careful, DNB is functional, and heavy-handed master automation can ruin DJ transitions. A simple blueprint. Bars 1 to 8. Keep the filter slightly closed so it feels darker and vintage. Bars 9 to 16. Open the filter, bring in the break accents, and reduce reverb slightly so it feels more forward. Bars 17 to 24. Drop some highs briefly and increase the room send for a spacey moment. Bars 25 to 32. Tighten everything. Reduce room. Reduce break layer, and set up your return. And speaking of DJ logic, Don't sabotage the mix. Keep the sub stable and mono. Avoid massive master sweeps right at the section edges. Put your wildest moment in the middle, like bars 9 to 24, night bar 1 or bar 32. The edges are for clean mixing and clear phrasing. Let's cover the big mistakes so you can catch yourself fast. Changing too many identifiers at once. If you swap drums, bass, and key texture all at the same time, you didn't write a B section. You wrote a different track. Confusing vintage with muddy. Saturation, without filtering, stacks low mids around 200 to 500 and your snare loses punch. Wide sub. If your chorus or reverb touches low frequencies, clubs will punish you. Overfilling every bar. Contrast needs negative space. Automation chaos. Too many lanes doing unrelated movement equals listener fatigue. Now a few advanced coach moves that help you work like a pro. 1. Design contrast as a parameter preset, not a rewrite. Build EB snapshot using one rack per group, drums, bass, textures, and map a limited number of macros. 6 to 10 is plenty. Even better, limit the whole project to 8 macros total, so you're forced to make choices. 2. Use a constraint rule. Pick one immutability rule for the whole B section. Kick stays identical, or the snare transient stays identical and only tails change, or the sub MIDI stays identical for 16 bars. This keeps identity glued, even while everything else shifts. 3. Do a quick mono check at bar 1 and bar 32 of B. Put utility on the master. Key map the width to toggle 0% briefly. If your feature disappears in mono, that can be fine, as long as the groove and bass statement still read. 4. Remember that vintage often means narrower bandwidth plus nonlinear dynamics. Try band limited dirt. Distort, then filter, then swap the order and compare. That order is half the sound. 5. Make the switch audible at low volume. If the difference only appears when the sub is shaking your room, it's not real contrast. The B should read through mid-range rhythm, snare ambience shape, and the air profile in the 8 to 12k area. If you want extra spice, here are a few advanced variations you can try without breaking DJ friendliness. Call and response drum grammar. Alternate phrasing every 2 bars. Hats talk for 2 bars. Then percussion talks for 2 bars. Then repeat with tiny velocity changes. Polymetric top loop trick. Add a shaker texture clip to a 5/16 or 7/16 length. Warp it. Low pass it so it's texture. And let it create a rest the surface while your downbeat stays locked. This audio version is shortened for playback.